So, man, let's jump right into things, man. I want to thank you for coming on the show. This is huge. You know, I don't want to bark on and on why I do the show. I feel like I almost do this every time, but actually, if I don't tell people why, they should know. The reason I do the show is, and I feel as if there's a lot of guys in the history of skateboarding that we never got to hear their story. And just for myself, I started skateboarding in 1986, and there's a lot of things I don't know. You know, like I've been pro since 1993. And there's a lot of things. Exactly. See, there's a lot of things that we don't know about each other. I feel as if, you know, I have a great audience. So I feel as if I have an audience. I have something to say. Why don't I use my platform to teach people about skateboarding and the history of skateboarding? It's just a gap that's missing, and it would probably bridge that gap with a lot of respect for the older skaters like yourself. You know, like the
guys.
Yeah,
I don't feel just to chime in here. I don't feel disrespected. You know what I mean? I have friends who are bitter. You know, and I see them. I feel for those guys.
Yes, yes.
But I'm not that person. Does that make sense?
Why do you think they're bitter per se? You know, I think
this is a, you know, to be in one man's shoes or person's shoes is very difficult. So I'm just taking pot shot guesses because they're not revered. They're not remembered. People, just a simple acknowledgement. It's like going to the bus. you see it really prevalent, like in the subway in New York. Everybody's like, you know, their personal space is precious. So they're to themselves very tightly.
Yes, yes.
And so there's no acknowledgement of them. It's like they never happen. I've never had that problem. I never cared. You know, things were different for me. The fact that, you know, I joke around, someone goes, wow, it's cool, legend. I go, famous for a graphic. Like they laugh. I go, let's just call it what it is. Famous for a graphic. No, I don't say nothing wrong with it. I'm taking the piss on myself in a way, as the British would say. You know what I mean? I'm just like.
But we know you. This is the thing, though. Check it out. This is the thing.
Yeah.
We know you from the graphic, and the reason I do the show is because it's to educate people about, let's talk about, you don't know, you know, like, I don't know. So this is a learning tool for me as well. You know, like, the last thing I wanted to talk about is the graphic. Like, so where'd you grow up? Like, maybe let's start there. Where did you grow up at?
I'll give you the breakdown.
Okay.
I was born in San Francisco.
Okay.
So the first 8 weeks of my life is there. My grandparents own a neighborhood market like they do in those places. And it was near what's called Ocean Beach, Playland by the Beach. It was like a Coney Island there in San Francisco near Seal Rock. Okay. My mom lives in Los Angeles proper, adjacent to Silver Lake and Virgil Junior High, like third in Vermont. I live on a street called Berendo. So I grew up there for the first 5 years of my life. It had a major impact. I grew up in a media city. You know, I saw television and film being made every day of my life. And it was interesting as a kid. And, you know, I saw everything. I saw surfing first. So surfing was my first love. How I started skating was, my mom was a school teacher. She was a single lady. And she has a whole nother giant story. She's not American. She was a naturalized citizen. She's from Indonesia.
Oh, wow.
And, she graduated from UCLA. And she had a master's degree. She had me and my sister. My sister's 10 years older than me. So I was the young one. My father, he had a great voice. He never went into show business because he didn't like drug use. That's what he told me.
Smart guy.
My mom's record collection, my sister's record collection and all that. That's a whole other musical story. It was very vast and large and different from each other. So I had all that. So when I started skating, we moved to an area called Cabrillo Beach, which is in San Pedro.
Okay.
And I went to Point Furman Elementary School. So I live in a maritime community that is also a beach community, that is also a military community that has, right. And the thing that it shares in common with San Francisco are the hills.
Oh, wow. So
it's San Pedro is super hilly.
Is that right across the water from Long Beach? Am I right?
Yeah, you take the St. Vincent Bridge and you going over Wilmington and you drop right into San Pedro.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I went to a school called Point Furman Elementary.
Okay.
Cabrillo Beach was close by and the ports of calls and all this. So I start skating there in 1974. There's a kid in the low-income housing. My sister would call it the projects, but my mom, she qualified. She had two kids. My mom went bankrupt. She lost a large apartment building, 22 units in the Monterey Park Hills, or we would have been millionaires at some point. But anyways, that happened. So qualified for low-income housing in West 29th Place, which was basically for the military, but they allowed single parents and stuff like that to move in there.
Okay.
And West 29th Place was situated atop of a hill that would make your blood curdle. Now, So there was a kid in the complex and all the sidewalks were seamed, you know what I mean? One way and one way, you know? So he had these did it, you know? And this kid was on a black night and the kids were doing this thing called shoot the tube. And they would go down this sidewalk path within the apartment projects complex and hook a right turn. So I'm goofy foot. So I'm actually going backside. If we're thinking surfing, my back is to the wave.
Okay.
And I would see people surfing all the time. And I saw Jerry Lopez on TV. And I'm like, ah, he's the best. And I got on and I didn't hit a pebble and I made it. And I did it 10 times. The kid got pissed. Goes, give me my bar back. I was like, what a drag. Yeah, I know, right? I got hoodwinked on that. I was a little upset because I kept going and I kept making it. And every time you ate it, you have to get the board and everybody else gets a turn. So I went 10 times in a row and I think they were kind of over it. So
that's sick, man.
It was a gas. And that's what did it for me. Weeks later, there was a guy in bell bottoms. You got to realize it's 74. The last guy do these. And I go, hey, man. Yeah, what's up, little brother? I'm all, how come your board doesn't make any noise? He goes, oh, Cadillac wheels, your thing. Try it out. So I tried it out. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's WCRP.
My mom she didn't want me to skate, and my mom was an athlete. So that's the disclaimer is she was a trained Olympic swimmer and high platform diver. Okay.
Wow.
But to her, that was an art. There was all these horrible articles in Los Angeles Times of people getting injured skateboarding, getting hit by cars. Were they true? Yeah. But my mom was like, all an anthem about it. I go, mom, no. Haven took a pair of roller skates and unsuccessfully took a skateboard out of it. Didn't turn. It sucked. And I threw the skates and my contraption in the trash with its bent nail, which totally sucked. You got to realize there's actually technology around me, but I don't have the means, right? Call my dad. My mom and dad are separated. My dad's like, yeah, what is it? Said, I want a skateboard. Okay, how much is it? He writes me a check for it. I don't know where you were at the time, but in this time in skateboarding, you bought your skateboard at a surf shop.
I was That's born right. in 74.
Okay, right. So in 1974, you went, they had a small case with wheels and trucks and a rack up, and I bought a full setup. I bought a Bain skateboard. Bill Bain out of Encinitas, North County, San Diego, used to make complete setups. And I had that board, and that was the one that I, you know, learned the basics on, and then eventually learned how to do the hills. Oh, my God. And then I remember seeing grip tape for the first time. I go, where'd you get that sticker tape? Oh yeah, you got to go to the boat store or the hardware store, and it's on a roll. Just take like a dollar. My board is only 24 inches long, dude. So I showed him. He goes, "Oh, you're one of those skateboarding kids, huh? Yeah, it's in the back here. I'll help you." Cuts the piece. He goes, "Yeah, 50 cents." Puts it. I'm like, "Oh my god, my feet aren't slipping. This is awesome." And, you know, I could kick turn and 360 and hang 10 and do slides and surfer moves, and so I'm wearing out the rear, the bum of my shorts, right? My left shoe, which was a Vans. Vans were very cheap back then. The toe and the heel are always gone because that was my braking system, and I didn't have a kick tail, and it's my braking system. The shoes are all important, right?
Yes.
So my mom started going to Vans and complaining. Said, "Can you sell me one?" So the orders that people didn't pick up. So I would have whatever was left in my size, because I would blow through shoes almost every 2 to 3 weeks. My mom was so pissed. She wished she could just buy the left shoe.
They were just making the shoes in the shop back then too. Am I correct? They were just like,
yeah. I mean, how Vans was, if you can imagine, it was just like a small A-frame structure, like you'd see one of those antiquated like Mississippi Juke joint films. Oh, come on in, we got a whiskey. I mean, it was on stilts, and there was a register and all the inventories on the A-frame structure. That's something you'd see in the South. It's raised above the ground on like stilt type structure, you know, has a floor. There's one or two, three windows. I didn't see a restroom. If there was, I don't know. And in other words, all the inventory is on the floor, meaning there's boxes, there's sizes, and there's shoe styles on top of these boxes. There's no like back stock.
It's WCRP.
I'm on boards that don't have kicktails for a while because I just don't have the money. And I get hand-me-down gear, and we moved to Monterey Park, 75 gnarly drainage ditches that are just like Waimea Bay of concrete, you know? And people used to get, they used to get really wrecked in these things. And you have to, you know, you had fences you had to climb that were high, 15, 20 feet high, these fences. And I'd see people with broken wrists just left there. And, and of course, like when you hear like, oh, you know, the cops or the pigs, everybody scatters like flies on a beach, right? It's rock. You never seen everybody run so fast in like 40 different directions. I know it's funny, but it's part of the whole cat and mouse game that used to happen. This is before the skate park, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of hills, a lot of freestyle, a lot of like trespassing. You know.
Yeah. A lot of street skating, right? Like,
well, it wasn't called that, but yeah. I mean, I'm skating the hill, so I'm surfing the hill, I'm bombing it. You know, you set up these cones that really aren't slalom cones, they're more like what the street workers leave out. They're these huge things that are really great to go through. You know, you're doing goofy stuff like the high jump and all the stuff, it's 70s stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I remember going into a shopping center. Montebello was just over the hill from Monterey Park. And I would get Skateboard or Magazine at the surf shop. And I remember the first one I ever saw was Greg Weaver's on the cover, you know, the famous cover that he dislikes. He's barefoot. He's on a Hobie board. He's in red trunks, you know, typical like blonde, blue eyed California guy. And the reason why Weaver doesn't like the cover, I actually met him a few years back and we connected, and he goes, "I hate that cover." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Do you know I was hitting tile and coping that day?" I go, "Oh god." The reason why the photograph was chosen, Warren Bosler was one of the photographers at Surfer, rationally pleasing in sound. I go, "I get it." So, but you got to understand from his viewpoint, it was bullshit because he was higher up the wall that day and they chose that photo. Yeah, you know what I mean? It was underwhelming from the session. Like, you see, "Hey, you got the cover." Wait a minute. I went to Kylan Cove. Why am I under the light? What's going on? You know.
You know, sorry to interrupt you, but check this out. Listen to what happened once. Yeah. They shot a cover of Guy Mariano. He's a super awesome cover. And he was doing a crazy trick down a handrail. But mm-hmm. we could see this back in like this, man, late 97 or something, maybe 98.
Oh my God.
And so he does a trick down a rail, and it's an insane trick. And but if you look at it really close, they switch from.
It's WCRP.
Santa Cruz did that with in Wheels of Fire. I think Roscop was trying a 540. He didn't legitimately land it. I was told this. I don't know if it's true, but if you look at it, the edit looks really odd, you know?
I could see that. There was they did that with Danny Way in an old Speed Freaks video.
Did they?
Too.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, I won't say who told me because they were close to the whole process. And he goes, "Oh, you didn't make that." I go, "Really?" Because Rob, to me, was the best skater Santa Cruz had during my time when I was there. He was a fantastic athlete. And there's a lot of them, but Rob, too. I mean, this is pre-handrail, mind you. You know what I mean?
Where things got a little tricky. Then. Yeah.
No. I mean, I was there for the paradigm shift. I truly was there. We can get into that. So, first time I saw a skateboarder was 1975, and I go by the mag. And
okay.
There was this shopping center in Montebello, and I'd already seen Carlsbad Skate Park. Of course, my mom will not take me down there. And I'm just jonesing to go down. And I see this, it says Montebello Skate Park. I'm like, get out. They're going to build one here. And it was just over the hill. So I forged my mom's name.
Nice.
Not so nice. But
not so nice.
No, well, you know, I mean, it's slightly innocuous.
We've all been there.
So what happens is Montebello, in the old days, the skate parks, they would have these things called skate patrol. Go around the park. It also gave you a test, too.
Really?
See your level. And you could only skate certain parts of the park. Now, this park isn't massive. So when I'm going with, and everybody that I'm with is always older than me. They're either driving age or close to it. So I'm always the youngest all the time.
Okay.
And I go, man, look at that. They go, oh, you better mark expert. Don't put pro. I go, why? He says, you see that over there? I go, what is that? My driveway's steeper than that. Yeah, that's the beginner's area. I go, I go down hills bigger than that. You know, you got to realize, like, perception. That's the snake run. I mean, the driveway was steeper than the beginner snake run.
Yeah.
You'd have to look at old photos of Montebello to really get the comedy of this. So there's really only two snake runs in a blue, like, bathtub type run that was good to ride if you're doing transition. And then there, of course, skate parks used to build like a flat square freestyle area, right? So people could freestyle there in the skate park, dancing their snake run, man. And so that was the first park I went to. That was 76.
Oh,
and
wow.
As you know, the parks closed down for a number of reasons. One was liability insurance, lawsuits. The other one is as skating advanced so quickly during those times, a new park would open, everybody would bail, and that park would be like a ghost town, and eventually it would close down. I actually rode Montebello a lot more once it closed down.
It's WCRP.
It's the start of all that, you know, and then eventually my mom saves enough money. She doesn't want to rent anymore. So unfortunately, we leave Monterey Park, which is a drag because it was not too far from L.A. It was close to the skate park in the early, starting in 75 because I wanted to be Hendrix or Jeff Beck or something. We moved to a place called El Monte, and the place might as well have been the Midwest with nothing around me. I couldn't find anywhere that skated. El Monte was very flat, so there was no hills. I didn't know where a drainage ditch was or a backyard pool. And I'd hear little crumbs of information. I'd try to find these places. One of them was the V-Bowl. And this is in the fall of 76. I'm about to start sixth grade. And so I start building ramps, quarter pipe in my driveway. I scrubbed enough money together to finally not be borrowing boards during the wood kick era. I'd share a board at the skate park because I didn't have a kick tail. My friend Adam Sims wood kicking. Come on, dude. All right, man. It's fine. But you can't mess with the trucks. So if the trucks are goosey loose, man, that was it. I was on it. That was my ride, you know.
Sims had the wood kick, right? It had like
Sims had the wood kick, but Logan Erskine had one. Everybody had one at some point. Brewer, you know, it's just oak with their name on it. I mean,
yeah,
you know, GNS had one. You know what I mean? They called it the warp tail, but was it really a warp tail? Go look at it. You know, it wasn't until the warp tail 2 that it was a warp tail.
Oh, but wow.
The first board that actually had a kick tail, and Larry Balma called Rocket.
Oh, wow.
I was told that they pissed NHS off because Tracker was supposed to do the trucks, and they had a deal, like, you know, full setup deal. Okay, you do the trucks, we'll do the boards. Yeah, I got a warp tail 2 with mid tracks, Powerflex 5s. It was a huge jump. I saved and, you know, money doing mowing lawns, edging lawns, taking soda pop bottles. So that was my first borrowing stuff all the time.
Oh, wow, man.
And within 3 months, my skating improved like 500%.
Yeah, it changes a lot. Like when you,
it changes a lot. I had a lot of skills already in place, like seriously better than basic. But man, it's like carving, grinding. I learned backside air, frontside air, tail block slide, lip slide. Like, oh, I could kind of do them on my other boards without a kicktail, but I was using more of my shoes to kind of careen and control it. So I'd use the rails of the board and the burn doing it. You know, skate low, right? So, which was fine. It's all about surfing at that point. And then, but I started to learn even freestyle tricks, just everything improved, slalom, all of it. And, you know, I just kept going. I started any of those little contests you would for 360s or slalom or high jump. They were just local contests, you know, at some parking lot at some skate bike shop. Now bike shops started having skateboards. This is like 76, 77 right in there.